This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In our last session, we began to address how a sheep may become cast or cast down. We discovered that there are three ways this could happen. The first is that the sheep will look for a soft spot. The sheep look for the soft spots will choose the most comfortable, soft, rounded hollows in the ground in which to lie down. Becoming unbalanced, they are then unable to get up, or they become cast. It is in these soft spots that it is so easy for them to roll over on their backs. In the Christian life, there is great danger in always looking for the easy place, the comfortable spot, where there's no conflict, hardship, sacrifice, no need to endure or to undergo hardships, or no demand or requirement for self-discipline. It is in these soft spots that we are in the gravest danger. It is in these soft spots that we become self-indulgent, indifferent, comfortable, and safe. I remember a country western song that stated, "If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything." Excuse me. It is very easy to look for, seek, and want to lie down in these soft spots of life. The second manner in which a sheep may become cast or cast down is that the sheep just simply has too much wool. When a sheep's fleece becomes too heavy or too long, it tends to become heavily matted with mud, manure, burrs, and anything else that it picks up as it grazes. The sheep becomes weighted down by its own wool. It is unbalanced and so heavy that it cannot right itself even from the most level bedding ground. Wool in the scripture represents the old self-centered life of the Christian. It is the outward expression of the inner attitude, our self-centeredness, our selfish hopes, and aspirations. It is the part of our lives in which we are constantly in contact with the world around us, a world in which we feel that we are the center. It's the part of us that is focused on our desires, our wants, and our wishes. It is where we look to success and money to determine our self-worth, our significance. It is where the things of this world weigh us down, drag us down, and keep us in bondage, keeping us from becoming what God has created us to be. It's interesting to note that no high priest was allowed to wear wool when he entered the Holy of Holies. The wool spoke of self, of pride, of personal preference, and God would not tolerate this. If we wish to go on walking with God and not be cast down, then this is an aspect of our lives in which we need to be more diligent and alert to correct. A shepherd that discovers a sheep that has been cast down because of its heavy, long, and matted wool is quick to shear the sheep, clean and short. A shepherd is on constant watch for sheep that are at risk because of their long fleece and take action before a sheep becomes cast down. Sheep do not enjoy being sheared, and it's hard work for the shepherd, but it must be done. Actually, when the shearing is done, both the shepherd and the sheep are relieved. The shepherd is no longer fearful of the threat of the sheep being cast down, and the sheep has been set free from a hot, heavy, and matted coat. It's the same with us as we deal with our old self-centered life. There will come a time when our good shepherd takes us and applies the sharp cutting edge of his word to our lives. It may be an unpleasant experience at the time, and no doubt we'll struggle, fight, and kick about it. We may get a few nicks, cuts, and scrapes in the process. We are then now set free from ourselves. But what a relief when it's over. The third cause of a cast sheep is simply because they're too fat. Ask any animal lover or veterinarian, and they will tell you that an overfat animal is neither healthy nor happy. The overweight sheep is the most often cast down. Their weight simply makes it harder for them to be agile and nimble on their feet. Once a good shepherd finds that any of his sheep are becoming cast down because they're too fat, he takes quick and long-term plans to correct this. He will put them on smaller rations of food, and they will receive less grain. It is the shepherd's desire and plan to see that his sheep are strong, sturdy, energetic, and healthy, not fat, flabby, and weak. As we look again at the Christian life, we see the same sort of problem. There are men and women who, because they have done well on their own, and have succeeded in their businesses, and their careers have flourished, they have pride in what they have accomplished and what they have acquired. They feel that they have arrived. They have finally made it. They may have a sense of well-being and self-assurance, which in itself is very dangerous. Often when we are most sure of ourselves, we are the most prone to fall flat on our faces. Material success is not a measure of spiritual health, nor is money or possessions a reflection of our godliness. The Good Shepherd sees through this stuff, and we will take steps to set us on the right path. His warning to the church in Revelation 3:17, God tells us that though we may consider ourselves rich and important, we may actually be in terrible danger. It reads, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And then again in Luke 12:16-21, Yeshua addresses the same issue. And he, Yeshua, told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.'" Do you see from these scriptures that we could easily become cast sheep? God points out that though some consider themselves rich and affluent, they were actually in desperate danger. The same point was made by Yeshua in his account of the wealthy farmer who intended to build more and bigger barns, but whom, in fact, faced utter ruin. Material success is not a measure of spiritual health, nor is apparent affluence any gauge of real godliness. And it is well for us that the shepherd of our souls sees through the exterior and takes steps to set things right. Excuse me. He may put us on a diet or discipline, which we find a bit rough and unpalatable at the time. But again, we need to reassure ourselves that it is for our own good, because he loves us and for his own reputation as the good shepherd. The word tells us that God chooses to discipline those that he loves. At the time, it may prove to be tough, but the deeper truth is that afterward it produces a life of reliance and peace, free from the fret and frustration of being cast down like a helpless sheep. Hebrews 12:6-8 tells us, "For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. In Luke 15:4 through 7, we are reminded that our shepherd's love and concern regarding us, his sheep, is part of the magnificent truth depicted in these verses about the 99 sheep with one who had gone astray. There is the shepherd's deep concern, his agonizing search, and his longing to find the missing one, and his delight in restoring it not only to its feet, but also to the flock, as well as to himself. We have discovered that when we are cast down, our good shepherd searches for us and rejoices over our return. Remember, we have resources that will help you to study along with us. They are available as free downloads on our website, sectim.org. I want us to read Psalms 92 and listen for the benefits of our Lord, our refuge, and our fortress, being our good shepherd. Psalms 92, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. With a 10-stringed lute and with a harp, we resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. Senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed for evermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. One of our questions that we should ask this text is, how has he shown us his loving kindness? Well, we found that, now remember unless it otherwise states, all of his promises to us are yea and amen. He is faithful. He makes us glad for what he has done in our lives. He makes us strong. He has honored us. He has taken down our critics. He has taken out our enemies. He has filled us with his promises. We will prosper like the palm tree. We will grow tall like the cedar. We are planted in the Lord's house, Yehovah, the self-existent one. We will thrive in his courtyard. We are healthy and strong, even in old age. He is our rock. Well, his loving kindness sounds really good to me. How about you? Do you want all of his gift of loving kindness? If we know Yeshua is our shepherd, then these gifts are ours. We just need to appropriate them. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts, grazing the same hills until they turn to desert wastes, and pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites. Many of the world's finest sheep ranges have been ruined beyond repair by overgrazing, poor management, and indifference or ignorant sheep owners and shepherds. You only have to listen to the news or to travel through our own western United States to see that the way in which many of the formerly productive grasslands have been reduced to ravaged wastelands. Too many sheep, over too many years, under poor management, have brought nothing but poverty and disaster in their wake. A common held but serious misconception about sheep is that they can just get along anywhere. The truth is quite the reverse. No other class of livestock requires more careful handling or more detailed direction than do sheep. No doubt David, as a shepherd himself, had learned this firsthand from tough experience. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the flock was to nourish and the owner's reputation was to be held in high esteem as a good manager, the sheep had to be constantly under his meticulous control and guidance. The consequences of poor management are many. Sheep will gnaw the grass to the ground. The roots of the grass will even be pulled out and eaten by the hungry sheep. Because sheep like what is comfortable and will show a preference for a favorite field, these wear out spots, then become quickly infested with parasites, worms, and mange. The end results are that both the land and the landowner are ruined, while the sheep become skinny, wasted, and sickly. The intelligent shepherd is aware of this, not only for the welfare of his sheep and the welfare of his land, but also for his own sake, his reputation as a shepherd. He must take the necessary precautions to safeguard against these adverse animal traits. Such habits, in themselves, comprise very serious hazards. The greatest tool for guarding against the habits of sheep is to keep them on the move. That is, they dare not be left on the same ground too long. They must be shifted from pasture to pasture periodically. This prevents overgrazing, the rutting of trails, and erosion of the land from overuse. It also forestalls the reinfestation of the sheep with internal parasites or disease, since the sheep move off the infested ground before these organisms complete their life cycle. It is with foresight and planning that the shepherd keeps his sheep and his land healthy. The shepherd is the one who directs his flock along the course of sure success. And now let's look at the human aspect of this truth. I know that you will be astonished, as I was, about what you will find as we continue this study. It is no coincidence that God calls us sheep. Our behavior patterns and life habits are so much like that of a sheep, it's almost embarrassing. Let's take a look at what the scripture says about this. In Isaiah 53:6, we read, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." And in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." In Proverbs 16:25, we again see the results of following our own paths. "There is a path which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." These are contrasts to the result of following the Good Shepherd. Let's look again at John 14:6 and John 10:10. John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.'" And in John 10:10-11, we read, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Remember that I told you earlier that one of my favorite sayings is, "Learning has not taken place unless mindset or behavior has changed." This is life application, or the fourth level of Hebraic learning, the sod, which is the hidden truth and its application to our lives. The stubborn, self-willed, proud, self-sufficient sheep that persists in pursuing its old paths and grazing on its old polluted ground will end up a bag of bones on ruined land. The world we live in is full of such folks. Broken homes, broken hearts, derelict lives, and twisted personalities remind us everywhere of men and women who have gone their own way. We have a sick society struggling to survive on desolate ground. The greed and selfishness of mankind leaves behind a legacy of ruin and remorse. Amid all this chaos and confusion, Yeshua, our Messiah, the Good Shepherd, comes and wants to rescue us. Let's look at some of these scriptures. In Mark 8:31, we read, "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Does this come easy for us? Absolutely not. Are there areas of your life in which you have struggled with this and have come to follow him? Are there areas of your life in which you still struggle with and are taking you up your cross and following him? Actually, this is the point in which all of us struggle in some way or another. Of course, if we are confronted with this charge, we would deny it emphatically. We would loudly assert that we are led of the Lord. We would insist that we would follow him anywhere he leads. We would sing songs to this effect and give mental assent to the idea. But as far as actually being led in paths of righteousness is concerned, precious few of us consistently follow that path. Actually, this is the pivotal point on which a believer either goes on with God or at which point he goes back from following on. Yeshua never made light of the cost involved in following him. In fact, he made it painfully clear that it was a rugged life of rigid self-control. It entailed a whole new set of attitudes. It was not the natural, normal way a person would ordinarily live their life. And this is what made the price so prohibitive to most people. In brief, there are 7 fresh attitudes that we have to acquire. They are the equivalent of progressive forward movements into new ground with God. If one follows them, he will discover fresh pasturage, new abundant life, and increased health, wholesomeness, and holiness in his walk with God. Nothing will please God more, and certainly no other activity on our part will or can result in a greater benefit to us and those around it. Are you truly being led by the Spirit of your soul? Prayerfully meditate on these attitudes and ask God to show you where you are on your walk into righteousness with him. Now, you might want to journal any insights that the Holy Spirit may give you as you meditate on these attitudes. The 7 attitudes are: instead of loving myself most, I am willing to love Messiah totally and others more than myself. Instead of being one of the crowd, I am willing to be singled out, set apart from the gang, for his sake. Instead of insisting on my rights, I am willing to forego them in favor of others. Instead of being boss, I am willing to be at the bottom of the heap. Or to use sheep terminology, instead of being top ram, I'm willing to be a tail ender. Instead of finding fault with life and always asking why, I'm willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude. Instead of exercising and asserting my will, I'm willing to learn to cooperate with his wishes and comply with his will. Instead of choosing my way, I am willing to choose to follow in Messiah's way, simply doing what he asks me to do. Most of us possess a formidable amount of factual information on what the Master expects of us. Precious few have the will, intention, or determination to act on it and comply with his instructions. But the person who decides to do what God asks him has moved into fresh ground, which does both him and others a world of good. Besides, it will please God, the Good Shepherd, to no end. That is really the most important thing. God wants all of us to move on with him. He wants us to walk with him. He wants it not only for our welfare, but for the benefit of others as well as his own reputation. That's all the time we have for this session. Join us next session as we continue our study of the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secctim.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.